Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Review of Death, your fortnightly home for Doctor Who news and reviews. I am Matthew Toffolo and I am joined, as ever, by Billy Garrett-John. Say hello, Billy.
Hello, Billy. That's an off-told joke. Just as we were talking about what we're going to do today, which we'll go over in a second, some stuff got leaked.
Some stuff did get leaked.
And we can also go through some news that happened sort of in the interim while we've been away between podcasts and stuff. Because the world of Doctor Who is accelerating quite quickly.
Well, it went very quickly because they announced a new logo about, what, 24? No, it wasn't 24 hours. About 48
hours. Yeah, 48 hours
maybe
after.
Less than that.
Yeah.
After Jodie Whittaker left.
Yeah, and this is a bit of a Jodie Whittaker special. We're going to be talking about Jodie Whittaker's tenure as Doctor Who. We did a massive poll of all of our listeners and viewers. Over 1,000 people entered, and we've got various categories from best writer, best director, best episode, best villain, best guest star, best regular star, and we're going to go through all those in a minute. But
first time for me, because I forgot to vote.
We're going to do a tier list, so you can see what we kind of, as a collective, as the Review of Death.
Also, we've got a new set as well.
This is new for us.
This is the new Rod set, which I think looks quite nice, quite snazzy.
Yeah.
This will change.
Yes.
She's up just for tonight.
Yeah, for one night only.
For one night only, it's her special episode.
Yeah.
So
let's crack into the news. Shall we do the stuff that got leaked a couple of hours ago first?
What do you mean?
the Doctor Who magazine cover.
Oh, that, yes.
Should we do that bit first?
Do we want to talk about the logo?
Oh, yeah,
let's do
the logo. Because we see the logo on the magazine cover anyway.
Yeah. So, Doctor Who's got a new logo.
Yeah.
Or is it a new logo?
Well, let's have a look at it. We've got it on screen right now.
We cut to the telly. Here we go.
So,
look at this.
Is that not the most beautiful Doctor Who logo you have ever seen?
I mean, yes.
It is,
it's
in
really
all
good.
Sorts of ways. And it harks back to the 1970s, obviously.
Yep.
This is the logo that was introduced with John Pertwee's final season as the Doctor, but slightly updated. It appeared in merchandise right through the 90s.
Yeah.
And it was sort of ubiquitous, wasn't it?
It was, really. That was, until the TV movie, that kind of was the logo.
The logo
especially
for the show.
It depends on your sort of pedigree as a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
But, especially if you're like a 90s kid, you know, that was... It was on the side of all the VHSs.
Yeah, on all the action figures and on, all that kind of stuff. But here we are with the brand new Doctor Who logo. And
it's slightly tweaked, isn't it?
They've
balanced it differently, I think.
Yes, so the original logo, when you actually look at it from like a design perspective, is all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, stuff isn't aligned properly.
But
and we like it. There's a couple of things we're maybe not so keen
weird,
on.
There's a few weird anomalies towards the bottom.
But the main thing...
Sort of around this area.
Yeah.
But don't look at those bits.
No.
Probably ruined it for everybody.
It'll be fine when it's animated.
Yeah.
And for me, I just think the Doctor sort of slightly disappears into the whole thing, because the Who is so bright.
I think it's, as you were saying earlier, I think it's fine like this, but like you said, on those covers, because they've put them on BBC audio covers already.
Yes.
And it's not the full diamond, is it? It's kind
no,
of like the old targets.
Yeah.
And whereas they worked, this doesn't quite work on those
scenes. On those ones, not yet.
Because it's sort of too dark. The logo's too dark compared to everything else, and it just looks
But it
a
took
odd.
A while for the Jodie Whittaker logo, which is up here on the poster. It took a little while for that to sort of find its way on the merchandise.
Yeah.
And eventually it did, and I thought it looked really good on the big finish covers. And I think this is going to look marvellous.
This is going to look amazing on a big finish
cover.
It
is. I'm not so sure. If I scroll up, we can see at the top of the screen here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not so sure about the non-stacked version. I think the weighting of that is well weird.
It is a bit odd.
But
can you imagine if this was on? Well, that would have been the logo on the side of DVDs, wouldn't it?
Oh, no, that would give me the heebie-jeebies, man.
Now, what about? Now, obviously, we know that the collection sets are still going to have the Whittaker logo.
They're safe. But
I can't help but feel that we've been shafted because this looks so much better.
It does. It does look really nice. I mean, yeah, you can imagine that. The one they've used on the audio covers on the Blu-ray set would look amazing.
It would be so good.
But we are saddled, that sounds really mean, with the Whittaker logo on the collection sets and just the collection sets, and that's fine as long as the spines look normal.
I think maybe they should do... replacement covers that you just prit stick onto the front of it.
Oh,
completely devalue
I don't know if that would
precious
work.
Tomes.
But you can see from the headline on this article on DoctorWho.tv, BBC and Disney branded television join forces on Doctor Who. Now, this is major, major news.
Yeah, it's pretty big, isn't it?
The mouse has the phone box.
He really does. Did you see... I forget the name. This is terrible of me. Paul... I can't remember his name. Badge Wolf on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Did this logo, but then added two Mickey Mouse ears. It was very good.
Beautiful.
What do we think about... So, well, let's unpack what this means.
Realistically, yeah.
So we know that this is going to be just the new home internationally for Doctor Who.
Yeah.
For people in the UK, it will still remain on its home channel, BBC One.
And they made a big point of that in the presser.
Yeah.
When Shuti Gatwa was talking about it and doing the rounds on TV.
That is bonkers.
I know.
Less than 48 hours after Power of the Doctor, they've got Shuti Gatwa on all these different things.
Yeah, on morning telly.
Morning telly in America going, yeah, we're all going to be on Disney. This is our new logo and I'm going to be Doctor Who.
It's nuts.
It did feel a bit like Jodie Who.
Yeah.
It sort of felt like the last night.
She did
happen.
Really just disappear into the ether. And I kind of assumed that was going to happen, to be honest. Because there's been this feeling that the faster they can get away from the past couple of years of the show, the better. And we're heading into the 60th anniversary. It's a bold new frontier. David Tennant is the Doctor again.
New.
Exactly. And this is, I mean, it's a huge sea change.
It needs to be new, but the logo's on. This logo is from 50 years ago, but it's fine.
It's very fine. So in the UK, it's still going to stay the same. We know that it's still going to be on BBC One.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's on Saturday or Sunday nights, we're not too sure yet. But the big thing that came out of conversations in the last sort of couple of days was the budget for new Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And if this is true, it's rumoured that each new episode of Doctor Who now is going to have a budget of £10 million.
I mean, when you consider that 60s Doctor Who was made on a budget of about £10 in today's money.
And a piece of string,
you know. I mean, we probably have more of a budget than 60s Doctor Who, which is insane. It's just like, I mean, I part of me is like, this is the best thing that could have ever happened to Doctor Who, because Doctor Who's going to suddenly look amazing.
Yeah.
But then the other part of me, the old sad git part of me is like, oh, but the shitty cheapiness is part of the charm of Doctor
Who. Of course it is.
Like, even in the new series, when in series 8 they had that shot in Into the Dalek and it was just remote control Dalek toys that they were just going through a model.
Yeah.
Part of me was like, now that is Doctor Who, because you know that is just some models.
And there's a favourite quote of a 70s Doctor Who director, David Maloney, who said, if Doctor Who comes back, and this was before the series came back, under Russell T Davis in 2005, he said, I don't want it to be some multi-million dollar production. I want it cheap and cheerful as it used to be.
Yeah.
And there is a charm to Doctor Who. And you know, there's the distinctly British charm, whatever that means, of a police box and somebody from the British Isles wandering around space and time, righting wrongs and saving planets and stuff. But fundamentally, like, Jodie Whittaker's Doctor Who is the best the series has ever looked.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the dodgy elements of that were the scripting rather than the graphics.
That's very true.
And, you know, Double Negative were responsible for a lot of the effects.
Yeah.
And it just looked amazing.
Did you see the VFX reel that came out? That was really interesting.
Ben Pickles? Is that their name?
I think so, yeah.
Did an amazing job with some of the VFX there. But we have something else we want to show on screen, which is the use of the logo in a brand new context. So this
boom!
Bang! Has been leaked in the sort of last 5 hours or so. This is the next Doctor Who magazine cover. It's the first use of the logo in print in this way, and it just looks beautiful.
So this is probably the first time, I mean, it is just an updated version of the Doctor Who magazine logo from when I was a little boy.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I can remember seeing it in the shops with this logo. It's weird. I feel like I've slipped into some sort of a time warp. What is happening?
The only thing that I don't like about it, and it's something that you just sort of have to do now.
Careful, David. That's going to take your eye out.
The only thing that I'm not keen on is they have to obviously include the BBC blocks.
Yeah.
But that means because they have to have a certain amount of space between the top of the logo and the start of the blocks, it kind of squeezes it into a smaller space.
Yeah.
So we're sort of looking at the logo in a slightly reduced format.
Yeah.
Like if it was touching the top a little bit more.
You just want it to be a little bit higher, don't you?
Yeah. And I think that was the problem when we saw it on the BBC audio covers.
Yeah.
Is that because it has to incorporate the BBC blocks at the top, it just looks slightly too scaled down.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why do they have to be that big?
Because, so it's basically, it's another block between the bottom of the block and the top of the logo.
Oh, is that the guideline, the start guideline. Couldn't they have just like done like a little BBC?
No, because, I mean, there are very few things to be proud of being British these days. But the BBC is one of them, I think. And just to have it there, I mean, shouting, this is our big new show.
They have made a very big point, the BBC, very recently. I don't know who it was, who said, you know, Doctor Who is such a huge thing for us, and you know, we have to look after it and all this kind of thing. So yeah, I guess if you're doing a deal with Disney,
yeah,
you want to, it is actually BBC.
Yeah,
it's actually
time.
BBC. Fuck that mouse. It's, yeah, BBC. All right,
definitely.
But there's obviously a lot to unpack within the cover other than the logo. So obviously we've got Mr. Tennant back as Doctor Number 14.
Yes.
In his rather nice looking costume, which was on display at MCM.
It was, yeah. I love it.
It's really good. I love it more than his original costume.
Big time.
Because it feels more Doctor-y.
It does. And obviously bringing the blue out of it a bit more is a bit more TARDIS-y.
It's very similar palette to this. Got the silver.
This is
more bluey.
Yeah.
Depending on the lighting.
But the main thing we want to definitely talk about on the top right, Matt, take us through what you've spotted there.
So up here it says we've got, you know, a new comic.
Yeah.
With David Tennant's new Doctor. But it says the 14th Doctor's first adventure only in Doctor Who magazine, which I can only assume means that this was the big thing that they were talking about, that's unprecedented in the show's history, that the first moments of the 14th Doctor is going to be
in print.
First in print, which is mad. But it makes sense because of what we sort of know from the set filming for the specials, which was Beat the Meep from the comics, has come
is
into
the
TV.
Is the villain for at least one of the specials.
Yeah. Imagine episode one.
I would imagine
light and
so.
Fluffy, quite literally.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty. But this is really exciting. And I think it speaks to the way that Russell wants to expand this.
Yeah.
It's going to be it was a franchise before.
Yeah.
It was a franchise when he had ownership of it previously. I think the status of the show as a franchise has sort of pulled back a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe because people just don't want to invest in it as much. But looking at this, it's just such a great example of what we've got to look forward to. He's really trying to expand the brand of the show, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, when you compare it to what was going on with Chris Chibnall, Doctor Who, where you got a bit of news maybe a fortnight before a series aired, or just like little tidbits very sparsely over the months leading up to a series. You know, we're a year away and we've got a look at the logo. We've got our new Doctor. We're getting his first adventure in a comic book of all things. I mean, I think that's going to be kind of a light, fluffy story.
Oh,
what's going on? Why do I look like David Tennant again?
Why does this TARDIS
look like shit? So I reckon we might even see him change the desktop theme so that when we come to the new episode in November of next year, the new console room will be in situ.
You never know.
You won't have to have that whole thing of like, oh, this is like shit.
Absolutely.
Let's change it, please.
The other interesting thing on this cover is the last little slug line here. Russell T. Davis, how it all began again.
Yeah.
Because we know that the story of how it came together.
Yes.
We've been told once it can finally be sort of presented to everybody, what led to it all coming back together. it's going to be a big deal.
Mm.
And it does sort of seem
yeah,
like...
Yeah, we weren't told, were we?
No, we weren't told the specifics. We were
told that it's nicer if you wait for the story to come out naturally.
Exactly. So it seems that we're going to find out, maybe not the whole story, but a little bit about how Russell and Julie and the whole team came back into the fold.
I'm just leading forward because I want to see what it says at the bottom.
What does it say
I know those teeth.
Okay.
Because there's always a quote.
There's always a little quote.
On the spine. I know those teeth. I love that line. I thought that was great.
I know these teeth.
What a clever way to loop it back round.
It's so exciting. And this is the first sort of indication of what's to come.
This is the future.
This is the future.
Even though it's the past. It's still the future.
Yeah.
But it's Doctor Who.
It's Doctor Who, so you can do that.
Yeah.
There's no problem.
It's kind of weird to think that Doctor Who now is literally doing what Doctor Who in the 90s wanted to do by saying, Doctor Who's gone down the shitter.
Let's get an old one back.
The most popular Doctor, Tom.
Yeah. It's a cyclical cycle, isn't it? Doctor Who ebbs and flows. And a lot of people were drawing comparisons to Jodie's tenure and the fact that... And, you know, even with Peter Capaldi...
Peter was like Colin,
older actor, wanted to take it back to the roots of the show. They made him an arsehole purposefully.
Yeah.
And it alienated a huge chunk of the audience.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with Colin.
Yeah.
But again, great performer, failed by his scripts.
Exactly.
Then we get to Jodie... sea change, somebody else comes in, tries something a bit different, fluffs it up a little bit, and, you know, we get into the sort of the Doctor's past and the Doctor's
mystery,
history.
Don't we? Yeah.
The mystery of the character again, and people, not wholeheartedly, but a lot of people go, not into that. I was a big fan.
I know you like
and, it. And I'm a big fan of Silve's tenure
right
the way through. Of course you do.
Yeah. I have to.
Otherwise
my brother would kill me.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have made it to 30 if that had not been the case.
You'd have an umbrella through your skull.
I would, yeah.
So it's weird, yeah. Like, Doctor Who does have these cycles where it just, you know, it ebbs and flows, it goes up in popularity, it sort of shrinks away and becomes this tiny little show again.
Mm.
And then, bang, it's a big, you know, bells and whistles production.
So is this now 1996? Are we back in 1996?
I guess so.
And then when Shooty comes along, is Christopher Eccleston again?
And it's... sexy and it's new and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll only do one series and then some other bugger will come along.
There'll be a massive falling out in the production team and that's
Someone's going to get punched up.
Exactly. And then David Tennant will come back and be the 16th Doctor.
He might as well.
Yeah. Why not?
God, he must be loving it.
He must be loving
his
it.
His pension...
his pension fund is big time.
His bloody bank manager must have been like,
could you reckon you could get another 3 specials out of them at the end of this lot? I mean, there we go. Exciting times. Exciting times to be a Doctor Who fan.
I wonder how it was pitched to David. I'm sure it wasn't just like, do you fancy coming back?
Sort of said, I think, in an interview, when it's Russell and he asks you to do something, you just go, because you know the scripts are going to be so good.
Yeah.
And I suppose as an actor, you relish the opportunity to perform those scripts and to do those things. So for him, it was probably a no-brainer.
Mm.
Equally, it probably pays quite well as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the 60th anniversary. He's come back for all of the major New Who anniversaries now, the two that we've celebrated and commemorated. So he is the sort of, he's the Tom, isn't he?
He is the Tom. He's the Tom of this generation.
Mm.
Beloved. Yeah, whatever you say about him, you know.
Yeah.
He is the 21st century Tom Baker.
And here's something the question I want to throw out there.
Yeah.
Are we going to be massively disappointed when it comes around to next year and he's the 14th Doctor, but it's just the 10th Doctor on screen?
Well, yeah, that's it.
Is he going to change his character in any way whatsoever? The costume, is that going to reflect maybe a slightly more somber attitude? Is he going to think, well, look, you know, he can reflect on, I've had this face before.
Yeah.
And all the experiences he had with that. Is that going to play into, or is this going to be a completely new personality?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if it was the latter and it was going to be a completely new personality, that would be more exciting for him as an actor.
Massively. Which is probably, maybe a draw.
I mean, the fact that he got his hair right this time around is...
I know.
I mean, why didn't they do that 10 years ago?
I don't know. What were they thinking?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, he looks... It's weird. It's like he hasn't aged.
I mean, he doesn't age.
He doesn't, does he?
He just looks brilliant all the time.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they've sort of photoshopped him a little bit there. But, you know, he looks all right. As someone who wasn't, you know, the biggest 10th Doctor fan, you know, it's good to see him back.
It is. And you kind of feel like safe pair of hands to go into this brave new world with. And yeah. then we hand the reins over to Shooty and see what he does and yeah. watch him fly. And
I guess it's a bit like Star Wars with The Force Awakens, isn't it? We bring back the oldies just to sort of pass yeah. the baton on.
Yeah, and like, well, you know, this is sort of the thing you expect.
Yeah.
So once we've got this out of the way, yeah. we can go on and do a brand new movie. Oh, everybody hated that. Okay, well, we'll go back and do the thing that everybody liked again. That was shit as well. Yeah. Well, let's stop making them then.
Yeah.
There we go. What, let's, should we jump into the Jodie Whittaker world again? Should we turn our back on the future and go and wallow in the past?
Yes, let's.
As Doctor Who fans like to do.
Speaking of the past, Doctor Who season 2 on Blu-ray.
Yes.
That is out in December. 5th of December, I believe, is the...
I got an email saying it was the 10th of December from Amazon.
Oh, did you? I haven't had an email from Amazon at all.
There we go.
I've had an email saying that my mother's Christmas present is now delayed until December.
No.
26th of December.
Oh, no.
Weird, because the Blu-ray version of said box set...
She might be watching.
My mother is not going to watch this. Especially with me effing in... What?
No. Oh, okay, fine.
She ain't going to see this. Doctor Who... My mother fell asleep watching Doctor Who and the Silurians the other day.
You're not surprised. It's bloody 900 parts long.
But this is episode 1.
Oh, my God.
She couldn't even get through that. She was gone. Comatose. She came to and bloody Jeffrey Palmer was dropped dead on the streets of London. She's like, what's going on here?
I like what he's having.
Yeah.
Okay, right. We're going to jump into the big Jodie Whittaker era poll. There. So we put the call out. Over 1,000 people responded. I think it was nearly 1,200 people that applied and put their votes
Very nice.
Through. There were some categories that you didn't have to vote for. There were some that you had to.
Yep.
And we're going to go through the results of those now. We're not going to read every single one of them, but we are going to go through a couple of them. So the first one was Best Novel. There weren't an awful lot of novels released in Jodie Whittaker's tenure as Doctor Who.
Four?
Four in total, I think.
And well, one of those was the Ace one, wasn't it?
Let's go from bottom to the top. So we had Team TARDIS, Diaries, Paper Moon and Ghost Town. Those both came at the bottom of the pile. I'll go for the top three. So the Target novelisation of The Witchfinders by Joy Wilkinson.
Is that a bit of a cop-out?
No. Why? It's a 13th Doctor novel.
Yeah, but it's a novelisation of a televised story. It's not an original thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm...
I was scraping the bottom of the barrel for books anyway, so I had to put it in. So that came third. Then The Good Doctor, which was one of only like three...
Was that Juno Dawson?
Yeah, totally original ones. That came in second. And top of the list, unsurprisingly, Doctor Who at Childhood's End by Sophie Aldred, which... is not canon now, according to the events of Power of the Doctor. I'm sure Sophie was thrilled with that.
Yeah, imagine that meeting. We'd like you to come back, Sophie. Oh, yeah, brilliant. But that book you spent ages writing, yeah, doesn't count anymore.
Doesn't count anymore.
Oh.
What a load of nonsense. Right, so what have we got next? We've got the best cliffhangers.
Right, okay.
And that was something that kind of re-emerged in the Whittaker era, was you got cliffhangers, not only because Flux was serialised, but obviously, you know, the first two episodes of her tenure were kind of one long adventure from The Woman Who Fell to Earth through to the end of the Ghost Monument.
Very Hartnell.
Very Hartnell-esque. So the top five for those, in fifth place, The Angel Has the TARDIS from Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
In fourth place... Adrift in Space from The Woman Who Fell to Earth, which is the first big cliffhanger. And that
was great.
Was a mission statement. That was like, if you could keep this up for 13 weeks, you'd be stringing the audience along a bit. But, you know, that...
It was really good.
Brilliant.
Very, not Ark in Space, Genesis of the Daleks. You know, floating around.
At the end of the episode, definitely. In third place, The End of the Universe from The Halloween Apocalypse, where the Flux is...
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
That was great. In second place... Look for the Spy Master from Spyfall Part 1, where they're on the plane and...
What, and he reveals he's the Master?
Yeah. Are you surprised that came second?
I'm very surprised.
Fair enough. And then in first place, the Doctor is recalled from Village of the Angels.
Oh yeah, that was really cool.
Which was exceptionally cool.
Yeah, that was excellent.
That was brilliant.
Really? That Master one?
Yeah.
I can't really remember what the actual...
So
thing
he
was.
Says, look out the window, and then the shed's spinning outside the window. He gets the matchbox out.
Oh, yeah.
And then chucks it away, which is a brilliant little touch from Sacha Dhawan. And then the bomb is about to go off, and then it goes, ooh-wee-oo.
Oh, yeah.
We tune back
I just remember that ridiculous bit about, oh, I remember reading your file. You were an Olympic sprinter. I mean,
the means to get to the end was bollocks, but the actual ending appears to have entertained a lot of people. Best alternative media adventure. Now, this was something I think that the Chibnall era did quite well in terms of video games.
Oh, okay.
In terms of live event experiences and things like that. Besides the fact that the Doctor Who experience shut.
That thing with the leaky roof.
That shut after like 900 attempts to try and open it. So from the bottom to the top, Doctor Who The Runaway, that was the first virtual reality game.
I played that, that was okay.
You almost said good then.
It was all right.
Doctor Who Worlds Collide, I can't remember what that one. Oh, that's one of the escape rooms.
Okay.
Doctor Who, A Dalek Awakens, that's the other escape room.
The two we haven't done.
Yeah, that one of them's in
Bristol. We will do it.
We will.
We've got enough people.
Doctor Who Lost in Time, I'm not sure what that was. Doctor Who, The Lonely Lonely Assassins, which was the mobile game.
Yeah.
Doctor Who, The Lonely Assassins, which was the mobile game.
Haven't played that.
Apparently really, really good.
Yeah, everyone praised it.
So top three, Doctor Who, The Edge of Reality in third place.
Now, is that the VR one?
Yeah, that's the one that we played.
Right.
Yeah. What did you think of that? I mean, it's the best Doctor Who game experience that there's been so far.
I mean, the VR version was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I praise that. Mm. Fine. The console version, clunky and broken.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Doctor Who Time Fracture in second place, which you never did.
I didn't do, no.
Which I did, and it was absolutely brilliant.
Doctor Who, get us a roofer in quick.
And then in top position, number
one. There was a whole scandal, wasn't there, about disabled access with that?
Yeah. Well, it was dodgy to start with because they put the tickets on sale and then they were allowing people to continue to buy tickets without releasing a venue or a date.
Mm.
And it was supposed to have opened, obviously COVID.
COVID happened, didn't it?
Put pay to that. But there was no update for people who bought tickets in the hundreds of quid to actually go to it. And if you were in a wheelchair. And then top of the list, number one, Doctor Who Redacted. Best alternative media adventure, which you said went a bit wonky at the end.
I found it a bit wonky towards the end.
Yeah.
I think it needed to be one thing or the other.
Mm.
And I think when it went the other, I've sort of lost interest.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet.
No. You probably won't bother.
No, I probably won't.
I mean, she is in it.
Yeah, true.
She does turn up.
Yeah. She's only in it a little bit, though.
Yeah, just at the end. Just be like, oh, hello, I'm the Doctor.
That's a really good impression of that man.
Thank you.
You should do your action figure adventures again.
Oh, should I?
It's just as Jodie.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Jodie.
I'm the Doctor.
Okay, we're going to do the top five for best piece of music. Seiga Nakanola.
Yep.
Fantastic composer.
I know what my favourite piece is.
Tell us.
I think her theme is lovely.
Yeah.
And especially the way it was used in the regeneration.
The 13 theme.
13 theme, yeah. But my favourite piece that isn't her theme has to be the Time Lord theme.
Yeah.
That gets used briefly in that story. Timeless Children.
Timeless Children.
When we see that really cool CGI sequence of the Citadel being built and the Shibugans. Because being a sad Git fan who likes Gallifrey and Time Lords and all that stuff.
It's nice to have a theme to put to them.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, obviously the one that Murray wrote was fantastic.
Yes.
You know, Gallifrey, our childhood, our home.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. But this was also really nice. And it was a shame that it was only sort of used then.
A little bit, yeah. We never really went back to Gallifrey, which is mental to think how they set that all up.
And
never went back again.
I know, like every time we were like, oh yeah, we'll go back to that. Fobwatch, we'll go back to that.
Never. Okay, right. Top five, My Beautiful Ghost Monument, which was sort of the TARDIS's theme. It kind of crops up every time the TARDIS is involved in the story.
How does that go?
There you go. The Spy Master from Spyfall Part 1.
Oh, yeah.
Which is his kind of the Spy Master's theme.
Great.
Is really
his theme is really cool.
Yaz and Nanny end credits, which the Doctor Who end credits from Demons of the Punjab. That was in third place.
That. Yeah.
In second place, 13, which obviously pops up in various episodes.
Yeah.
And number one, unsurprisingly, the Doctor Who theme, composed by Ron Grainer and arranged by Seiga Nakanola.
Very
and
good.
I think the title sequence and the theme, the best of the new series.
I mean, that is one thing we didn't mention, is obviously the new theme for the new series.
Mm.
What's that going to be like? Is that going to be very retro to go with the nice logo?
When they did the Seigen chat, they used the 2008...
The
Shu-Tagatwa chat. They used the 2008 version of the theme.
Yes.
That was first in Voyage of the Damned.
Yes.
The drum one with the electric guitar.
Yeah.
That first cropped up then. So, I mean, it's sort of the default Doctor Who theme these days, isn't it? It's like the Tom Baker version of the theme tune.
And I felt like that was quite a statement as well, that they used that music for that video, because you'd be like, well, why wouldn't you just use the current music?
Because it evokes the most popular period of the show's history.
Yeah. You know, like, it's cleverly done.
Very much so.
It's sort of psychological... I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, best TV writer?
That lady who wrote Village of the Angels.
Maxine Alderton.
Get her back. She's brilliant. She did two crackers.
And everybody else thought she was brilliant as well because she came first in the poll. Mm. So, from bottom to top, Charlene James, who wrote Can You Hear Me? Ella Rhode, Legend of the Sea Devils. I'm not going to say that's. I mean, that's really mean. But how is Charlene James at the bottom of that list? I mean, Chris Chibnall's got to take most of the blame for that, surely.
Well, yeah, because if you read any interviews, it seems like she was brought in like at the 11th hour to just do a few things and tidy the script up a bit.
Which goes out the window because the whole thing's butchered in the edit anyway.
Yeah. I would love to see, like, the original...
We'll get it one day.
The original draft of that. Not the draft that they put on the writer's room. The actual draft that was delivered before they thought, oh, shit.
We've got to cut all this stuff out.
Yeah.
Ed Heim, who wrote It Takes You Away and Orphan 55. Then Pete McTeague from Kablam and Praxeus fame. Mm. Joy Wilkinson of The Witchfinders.
Yeah, I loved The Witchfinders.
Nina Mativa, is it? Mativa, who wrote Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror.
That was really good.
That was brilliant.
That was really good.
Mallory Blackman, who wrote Rosa. Then in second place, Vinay Patel, writer of Demons of the Punjab and Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Right.
And as we said before, Maxine Alderton, writer of Villa Diodati and Village of the Angels
in
first place.
Did Chris Chibnall not get on his own list?
I didn't include him in the list.
It was just new writers, new talent. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I must say, Mother's Scarf's looking lovely in this lighting.
Yeah.
I just caught it and it looked good.
It's looking very pretty. Right, let's have a look at this. So I think this, I'm trying to remember which category this one is. I think this might be Doctor Defining Moments or Best Moments, Best sort of overall moments from the show.
Okay.
So I'm going to go from bottom
the end.
To top. When the end credits ran in Power of the Doctor. I'm going to go from bottom to top very quickly.
David Tennant turned up.
So, actually, I won't go bottom to top. This is far too long. Rise Up from Rosa.
Yeah.
Not first place, unbelievably. I Don't Know What to Do, Dan. I've Never Told Anybody, Not Even Myself. Comes in at sixth place. That's from when Yaz tells Dan...
Oh, right, fair enough.
She fancies the Doctor.
Oh, I thought this was the Doctor talking to Dan, and I was like, what does she do? What?
No, don't worry. In sixth place, the cellar scene from The Haunting of Villa Diodati, when Ashad comes down, and Ryan's like, well, why can't you just do that?
And the
Doctor's like, you know, well, you do it then. You know.
Yes, that was a good scene.
This team structure is not flat.
It's flat, yeah.
It's me at the top of the stratosphere. Yeah, yeah. Brilliant piece. Yeah. In fifth place... I Wanted to Ride a Horse.
Okay. Yeah.
From War of the Sontarans. Fourth place, Frog on a Chair from It Takes You Away.
Fuck off. Why is that in there? Come on. Who's bloody voting? Listen, that's trolling, surely.
In third place, You Are Recalled from Village of the Angels.
Right.
In second place, O from the Spy 4 Part 1, so the reveal of
the Master.
Master.
But that was obvious.
Yeah.
It was leaked. We all knew he was the Master.
And then in first place, Let Me Take It From the Top. Hello, I'm the Doctor.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
You would have expected that.
You would have expected that because that was a genuine, like, what the frig is
going
on here?
Big time. Best villain. Now, who do you think's come at the top?
It's what's going to be the Master, isn't it?
Okay, interesting.
I'm trying to think who else is it? Oh, no!
Best new villain, best new monster.
Okay. Swarm and Azure.
Okay.
Maybe.
In fifth place, the Grand Serpent.
Right.
From Doctor Who Flux. In fourth place, the Kablam Men, which I'm very surprised they came that high on the list, but there we are.
Yeah.
In third place, the Pating. In second place, Ashad.
Right, yeah.
And in first place, Swarm and Azure.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think you've pretty much listed all of the new monsters that was in her complete tenure.
These are all the villains. So I can't read the space racist. No, hang on. Zelin from the Ghost Monument. Art Malik.
Oh, yeah.
He's a villain.
He's a baddie, is he?
Yeah, oh, okay. The spiders from Arachnids in the UK. Crasco from Rosa. The dregs from Orphan 55. These are all the bottom of the list.
Right.
The Morax from The Witchfinders. The Kasavin from Spyfall. Manish, who's the main baddie in...
Manish?
In Demons of the
Punjab. He's a Manish.
Manish. Jack Robinson. Trump allegory.
Yeah.
Gat, Tim Shaw, Queen of the Scythra from Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror, and Zelin and the other one from Can You Hear Me? The two spooky Eternals where he disconnects his fingers.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was great.
Finger me, man.
Yes, finger me, man. Here are all the best kind of returning villains. Bottom of the list, the Jadoon.
I guess they weren't really in it much, were they?
But would you have them over the Sea Devils? Because that's what the vote's saying.
Well, yeah, because the Sea Devils haven't been seen since 1983
but
or two.
A shit story.
It was a shit story. They were the best bit. Looked good.
That
and they spoke like Sea Devils.
Then the Cybermen, then the Daleks, then the Weeping Angels. In second place, the Sontarans, and in first place, the Master. I think that's the Sacha Dhawan stands got in there nice and early to deliver that vote.
Yeah.
And this is an interesting one. So this is best guest star.
Right.
I'm going to do the top five again. Alan Cumming.
Yes, he was superb.
Amazing.
He was so good.
In The Witchfinders.
Yes.
In fourth place, Asleen B as Sarah.
Yes.
From Eve of the Daleks.
She was good.
In third place, Kevin McNally as Professor Jericho.
Yeah, he was also very good.
I don't get the Jericho hype.
Don't you like him?
I don't get him as a character.
Oh, he's good fun.
No, I don't know. No, I don't get him.
Stuffy old man, is that
Stuffy
what
old man,
see?
Yeah. And then he sacrificed himself for no readily apparent reason.
I mean, that is random.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that era in a nutshell. You just have to take these leaps of logic.
Things just kind of happen.
They just happen and just go with it.
And then second place, Sacha Dhawan. And then in first place, of course, Joe Martin as the Fugitive Doctor.
Fair enough, yeah. What was the last two? The bottom two.
Alan Cumming and then Asleen B. They were the bottom two of the top five.
I mean, I think Alan Cumming could have been higher up.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. He stole the show with
I'm trying to look down to see if there's anybody else who's sort of outstanding that really should have been higher on the list. I mean, Patrick O'Kane comes in quite low.
He was really good.
We'll post the full results online elsewhere.
He was excellent in... Ascension of the Cybermen and Villadassi and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, in Power of the Doctor.
Doesn't have an awful lot to do.
Could have been anybody.
Literally.
Really.
Could have been any Cyberman.
Yeah.
Best director. Again, we'll do the top five for this. So, Anita Lawfer, who directed Eve of the Daleks.
Right.
Which I thought
was really
great.
Good. It was very well
brilliantly
directed.
Brilliantly directed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mark Tondoroy, who directed The Ghost Monument and Rosa.
Yes, they looked very nice.
Emma Sullivan, who directed Can You Hear Me and The Haunting of Villa Diodati, which were both, I thought, great-looking episodes.
Yeah.
They're the kind of creepiest, the darker kind of looking
they
ones.
They are. The stories were shit, though.
Fair enough. You like The Haunting of Villa Diodati.
Oh, sorry. Villa Diodati, the other one I was thinking of. Can You Hear Me?
Can You Hear Me? Jamie Childs came in second place, who directed The Woman Who Fell to Earth, Demons of the Punjab, It Takes You Away, and The Battle of Ranscor Ab Kolos.
Right.
And in first place, Jamie Magnus Stone, who directed Spyfall Part 1, Praxeus, Ascension of the Cybermen, The Timeless Children, The Halloween Apocalypse, War of the Sontarans, and Village of the Angels.
Yeah.
Which are kind of all the ones
all the
that
good,
people,
all
everybody
the, all
likes.
All the good ones, basically.
All the good ones. And then, this is the big one.
Right.
Best episode. So this is sort of what we're going to go on to do in a minute when we go to the tier list.
Okay.
So what do you think came at the bottom?
At the bottom, is it Battle of Ranscor Ab Kolos?
It's not.
No, sorry, Orphan 55.
It's not.
Oh, okay.
No. Should we go from bottom to top?
Yes, please.
These 30 episodes, not including Power of the Doctor. We didn't include Power of the Doctor in the listing.
So she had 31 episodes.
Including Power.
Right.
And 30 excluding. So this is
okay.
From number 30 upwards.
Right.
Survivors of the Flux. Do you remember what happens in that one?
Is that the unit one?
That's the unit one.
That was considered the worst story.
That one got 0 votes.
That is insane.
Out of the 1,221 people that voted in this poll, that episode got 0 votes.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
So, I mean, I know it's not very good, but comparing it to some of the other shit on that list, that's like a bloody Oscar award-winning, Pulitzer Prize-winning story.
In 29th place, The Battle of Ranskorav Kolos.
Fair enough.
28. Arachnids in the UK?
What? I mean, it's
not
great.
Are you not all right?
People are unhinged.
What is going on? In 27th place, The Vanquishers. The last episode of Flux.
Oh, yeah. It was wank.
Yeah. 26th place, Praxeus.
Yeah, I mean, that should be lower.
Do you really not like Praxeus?
I would sooner insert this up my nose than have to sit through that again. I could only watch it once.
What don't you like about it?
All of it is shit.
Okay.
I mean, I shouldn't say that because I think Pete McTeague is a very good writer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the stuff that he does on the Blu-rays and everything is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind Kablam so much. I mean, I'm not...
You say chlamydia then.
I don't mind that either. I don't mind Kablam so much, but... Oh,
no.
It just...
This is giving some people an idea of what your kind of tier list is going to look like. When we
get to putting it together. It's just... Yeah.
Are we going to have an argument about that?
It just felt like so many weird, disparaging elements.
Well, it's sort of... Oh, Jodie's gone over.
Oh, sorry, Jodie.
She's worth a bit of money.
Oh, dear.
That's not mine. I don't know why I was freaking out so much about it.
She's only 300 quid. It's fine.
Okay, fine. Right. Well, 24th place, The Sananga Conundrum.
The Sananga Conundrum.
With the pating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Orphan 55 hasn't come out yet.
No.
Oh, this is... People are trolling. People are trolling.
In 23rd place, Ascension of the Cybermen.
Oh, come on. Isn't that bad? I mean, it's...
This is what the people are saying.
Well, the people are wrong. You're wrong.
22, Can You Hear Me?
I can hear you. You're talking nonsense off of this.
21, Orphan 55. There you go.
Right, but why is it... I mean, it isn't as bad as people say it.
No.
But I would have put money on that one being near the bottom because people hate it.
Have you noticed which other one hasn't turned up yet? It's going to come up next, but I'm absolutely... I can't believe Can You Hear Me is below this.
I can't think. What is it?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Legend of the Sea Devils.
Oh, yeah.
You lot are nuts.
I mean, it's terrible.
It looks
great.
Good.
Unless you watch the editing, which isn't great.
True.
But I think if someone paid me, I'd probably watch that over some other stories just because I like Sea Devils and they're in it.
Fine. I see what you're saying.
And it's sort of, it's just easy. It's a bite.
It's an easy watch.
Yeah.
I mean, when you ignore the horrendous editing and the terrible scripting.
Yes, I could never be with you because I'm an old time lady and it just won't work. By the way, never mention lesbian ways ever again.
Is that's your Karen voice, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
In 20...
Oh God, it's Karen Jodie Whittaker.
Karen Jodie Whittaker. You just based...
That's what it is.
That is what that accent is, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
20th place, The Ghost Monument.
Yeah.
In 19th place...
It's poo. I mean, it looks lovely. It's a poo covered in glitter.
It's a poo covered in glitter.
It is, because there's no substance.
On the poster.
It's like, imagine you had the most amazing cake, like a nice, fantastic wedding cake. You thought, gosh, amazing. Then you bit into it, and it was just feces.
I wrote a really nice piece about the Ghost Monument for a book that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the Ghost Monument. In 19th place, Once Upon Time, which is where they go, the ladies, the tall ladies with the gowns on, and Jodie's floating about in the time vortex.
Oh, yeah, the one...
I can't remember what else happens in that story, though.
Joe Martin turns up. To be replaced by
Jodie.
Which no one wanted to see. Everyone was like, no, give us... What were they thinking? I don't know.
In 18th place, Kablam.
Maybe there was a COVID thing there, and they couldn't get her in or something.
It was produced under COVID, and so I think you have to give them the benefit of the doubt.
It must be that. They must have just... I reckon... when that story was written originally, that was going to be a complete Joan Martin episode.
You'd hope so.
With just Jodie bookending it.
Yeah.
And I think COVID cocked it up, and they thought, well, we can only have so many people on set at a time.
Because they were doing cohorts when they were filming
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. So if we bring in somebody else, that's going to mess it all up. Yeah. We'll shoot her separately on a green screen and edit it in.
Once we find out the production happenings of that season, it's going to be really
It would have been nice if they'd have been more transparent about this sort of stuff. I mean, all right, we don't need to know. Mm. It would have been nice because then I think people would have looked on aspects of the whole series in a different way.
I mean, it was they made it sort of clear. I mean, you knew just from the timings that this was being shot during a period of real uncertainty.
Yeah.
And all of the TV industry was struggling with how to, you know, adapt and assimilate to it.
It is incredible that it got made.
Yeah.
A series of that
scale and size.
Yeah,
it's
bonkers.
It is really impressive. In 18th place, I think this is, Kablam.
Right, yeah, fair enough.
In 17th place, Spyfall Part 2. 16th, The Timeless Children. So people maybe sort of warming to that a little bit more.
Yeah. Or as I like to call it, the Masters British History of Timeless Society in 45 minutes.
15.
With some Cybermen.
15, Resolution. The first Jodie special with the Dalek. Probably the weakest of the Dalek stories that they did.
Oh, for sure, for sure. When you stop for 10 minutes to have a chat with
Ryan's dad in the cafe.
Ryan, who is about as interesting as a lump of cardboard, his dad, who is equally as interesting as a lump of cardboard, talking about, I worked on oil rigs and now I sell microwaves for a living.
That is the magic of Doctor Who distilled for you right there. Beautiful. In 14th place, The Halloween Apocalypse. Right. 13th, The Witchfinders.
Yeah.
12th, Revolution of the Daleks.
Witchfinders should be higher.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
11th, better than Revolution of the Daleks, come on.
Do you reckon?
I mean, Revolution was fine. Which one's that?
That's the one with Captain Jack in it.
Yeah, I mean, I like Revolution of the Daleks.
Yeah. Yeah, but The Witchfinders is better than that.
Witchfinders is better.
I think this is now the top 10 we're getting
into. Alan Cumming alone, you know.
Yeah, he's superb.
You think Revolution of the Daleks has got two sexually dodgy men in it. And, you know, Alan Cumming is just Alan Cumming.
Oh, my God.
He's got a comical surname. What else do you want?
Yeah, beautiful. There we go. I think this is 11th now. Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror. And I believe
very good.
We're now cracking into the top 10. So 10,
okay.
The Woman Who Fell to Earth.
Really? I remember watching that when it aired and thinking, phew.
Really?
I did.
Did it deflate you?
It did.
Yeah.
Because they made such a big fuss in Doctor Who magazine. We're like, it's so different.
It's the biggest change since Doctor Who went into colour.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
And it wasn't.
No.
It was like, nope, this is not
unless
great.
They were going, we don't have the title sequence and the theme tune in the first episode, shock horror.
My God.
Unbelievable.
Never done that before.
In 9th place, Spyfall Part 1. This whole thing has basically just been, I tell you an episode, and Matt goes, what was that one?
It's just goes to show. Look, I love Doctor Who. I've been watching it since I was in nappies.
Yeah.
But I can't.
That has, I tell you, I can give you an idea of what episode this was, because it's probably the only bit of it you liked, when the Doctor's doing the engineering works under the TARDIS.
I love that bit. I like that.
In 8th place...
I know it incensed people on Twitter for some weird reason, but...
Is there weird?
Yeah.
In 8th place, It Takes You Away, with Frog on a Chair.
Oh, what?
In 7th place, Eve of the Daleks.
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. In 6th place, Rosa.
Right.
In 5th place...
Again, it's all right.
Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Yeah, it's okay.
In 4th place, War of the Sontarans.
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed that.
In 3rd place, Demons of the Punjab.
Better than that Sontarans... No. No.
I'm going to keep an eye on the
this
chat.
This is mad.
I love it.
This is bonkers.
In 2nd place... Which top two, we know what the top two are, basically, at this point.
Villa Darcy and Angels.
Yeah, so which one came number one?
Angels.
In 2nd place, The Village of the Angels.
Oh!
And in 1st place, The Haunting of Villa Diodati.
Well, I mean, at least the top two are correct.
So
what was number three?
Number three was Demons of the Punjab.
Bollocks!
No.
That is absolute nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't even be in my top five.
No, I know.
I don't know if it'll be in my... Well, we'll find out if it's going to be in my top 10, because
we'll do it in a minute.
I'm going to rank him myself.
All right, very quickly.
Wow, a few people...
Are nuts.
Who voted. My God, what were you thinking?
So best series regulars, there's only four you could vote from. Toes and Cole comes in fourth place.
Yeah, not surprising.
Third place, John Bishop.
Right.
Second place, Mandip Gill.
Yeah, I'm
not... first place, Bradley Walsh.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I think it's a shame, really, because Mandip Gill was pushed to the sides for too long in that first series. For some reason, they focused on Ryan. Mm. I'd say focused on him. They just had a bit more of a...
In the first episode, they went, he's dyspraxic and can't do ladders.
And he's got a shit YouTube channel.
Yeah, with no viewers.
And no wonder he's got the personality of a fucking Q-tip.
Of a wet dish rag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just looked like he would rather be anywhere else.
And also, you know, I think Toes in Cole has the capacity to be a great actor. And in some aspects, when he was on Doctor Who, he was good, I thought. Matt hasn't said a single thing. But
I can't really remember.
I know you want to set it in Sheffield. But why did you labour him with that accent?
Yeah, he can't do it.
Because he can't really maintain it. And he looks uncomfortable performing the lines in the accent. So why not just let him do it naturally?
Yeah,
because when he speaks normally...
He was from London and
he moved to Sheffield.
It is weird.
Yeah.
That whole first year, they're all from that part of the world, aren't they?
Graham's from London, at least. Bradley Walsh just, went, I'm not doing an accent.
Yeah, but just like the whole guest cast. Because in the second episode, Sean Dooley...
Yeah.
He's sort of northern, you know.
But it's the part of the world that Chris Chibnall's from.
I think he was a Scouser.
Yeah, he is, but I think he spent a lot of time sort of generally, you know. ITV has a lot of stuff sort of more north,
I see.
So I think he was doing a lot of those sort of
dramas. Was this like Doctor Who as made by ITV?
Somebody made that observation.
Oh, really?
And I have to say, I saw it on Twitter maybe a couple of months ago. I have to say, I think it's a pretty good... description.
Full of northerners.
I mean, not that it's full of northerners, but just
shite.
Maybe the fact that bollocks. Maybe the fact that it's episodic and serialized a lot more than previously. But you know, I don't know. There's something about other seasons of Doctor Who. I can't imagine, you know, Ant and Dec popping up at the end to promote Saturday Night Takeaway at the end. But I kind of can at the end of most Chibnall episodes. I don't know why. Right, this is the big...
Or you just had that revelation. The Doctor is actually the timeless child. I don't know what accent I'm doing.
Where are they from? Where are they from? Why are you, man? Okay, right. This is the big one for Jodie. This is Doctor Defining Moment. So we broke down 16 individual moments that we thought were Jodie's sort of standout moments through... Me. Yeah, in all 30, there were 16 that I found, unfortunately. So we're going to go from the bottom to the top. Okay. So
this is really should just be a game of can Matthew remember any of Jodie Whittaker's stories?
Well, we know the answer to that.
The funny
game,
thing is Annie has obviously watched all of Doctor Who, but she's not watched all of Jodie Whittaker.
I don't get how you can do that if you're a Doctor Who fan. I don't understand that. I can understand.
Bring yourself to what? I mean, I think she's got like four or five that she hasn't watched. I want to sit down with her one day and just do it. I keep saying to her, you need to do it just to say that you've watched it all.
Yeah.
Frankly, you've sat through the Space Pirates.
And she watches Fifth Doctor episodes on a bloody loop. I don't know how you can do that and not watch Jodie Whittaker. Right, in 16th place, I love being at the bottom of the ocean from Legend of the Sea Devils. In 15th place, Now Do That Again to My Face from Resolution. Do you remember when the Daleks...
Do That Again to My Face?
Yeah! Do you remember that bit? This is beautiful. It's when she's...
This is the right... Is this Doctor Who? Or is this something you've been searching for on dirty websites?
It's not my...
Oh, Do That Again to My Face!
It's not my private browsing window, no. It's not. Right. That's in Resolution when the Dalek is sort of teleported in and there's a hologram of the Dalek and it laughs at her. And then she like presses a button
and then it kind of
becomes a bit more solid, but it's not in there still.
Right,
but she still has a go at it.
Oh dear.
That's sort of the equivalent.
Out of context, Doctor Who.
That's sort of the equivalent, especially when the Dalek isn't in the room with you, of going like, yeah, walk away. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's not really a bossing moment.
My dad's bigger than yours.
literally. Where are we now?
My dad's got proper Dalek casing.
In 14th place, It Makes Me More from The Timeless Children, which is where she sort of comes to the conclusion that having all these lives that she didn't know about and accepting. It's bollocks. The Timeless Children is still bollocks. It's still rubbish.
It makes me more convoluted than needs to be.
Uh-huh. In 13th place, or 12th place, Oh Mate, I'm the Doctor from Resolution, where she confronts the reconnaissance scout for the first time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
United We Stand 2 meters Apart, which was one of the social media things she did for lockdown. When she did, you know, Jodie popped up in costume.
I was going to say,
she was shooting
this,
it from
what's
home.
This COVID stuff going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that doesn't really count though, because it didn't happen in the TV series.
Oh, you're going to love the rest of this poll then, in that case.
Well, is it just stuff that she said?
Stuff she said on John Bishop's podcast.
Doctor defining moment. That time when she signed all those big issues. Big issue, man. Oh, brilliant.
That was lovely, Mike.
It was lovely, bless her. That is a very nice thing to do. And, yeah. I mean, she has to technically be my favourite Doctor Who of all time, because she was wearing, Ellie sent this to me, TARDIS Monkey.
Yeah.
She was wearing, not me, Mike, so sorry, everybody. She was wearing a Skeletor badge.
What a saddo.
Yeah, and it said live, laugh, love, and it was him going
God, you love
like,
you masters the universe lot. I thought being a wrestling
good.
Fan was weird.
She's yeah.
Right, I believe we're into the
He-Man
top 10.
Is just wrestling with furry underpants and magic.
Which is basically pro wrestling. right. Can we just live in the present from Legend of the Sea Devils? Where puts Yaz down and like, as we know, was actually her going, this ain't going to happen, mate. Which, when you watch it back in context, is really sad, because when they have another heart-to-heart at the end of Power of the Doctor, and Yaz sort of says, but I do really like you, though. And she goes, well, I don't like you. Can you just get it into your thick skull? This isn't going to be a thing.
I've given you an ice cream. And that's the only thing you're licking tonight.
Yeah. There we go. That's the quote. That's the quote of the stream so far. Well done. Ryan waited for you, you let him down from Resolution when she has a go at his dad.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
When she steps out of the TARDIS in Spyfall Part 2 and looks at Gallifrey and it's all in ruins. And she cries a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Forging. I know, it's bottom of the barrel stuff.
It really is. And I think the order of them are a bit all over the place.
Forging the sonic screwdriver from Sheffield Steel. The Doctor crashes through the train.
Which one?
First time for doing it.
I didn't notice that. Someone on Twitter pointed that out, that the symmetry of that.
Yeah, that's a nice little thing. In sixth place, you are the maddest, most beautiful thing I've ever experienced when she blows the kiss to the frog.
Again, out of context.
Beautiful.
She's licking toes or something. God, you're the most maddest thing I've experienced. The bloody carpet was moving.
There, the walls were talking to me. It was nuts. In fifth place, I'm the Doctor sorting out fair play throughout the universe when she's on the crane and she's having a go at Tim Shaw.
Yeah, okay, fair
That
enough.
Was a nice little bit.
That was a nice little moment.
In fourth place, leave this planet now and you get to... And you leave this planet now and you get to leave alive from War of the Sontarans. I can't imagine her ever saying that line of dialogue, I've got to say.
Leave this planet now. I'm going to shove this sonic screwdriver in your probic vent. You're going to fucking die, mate, you potato-headed bastard.
Like the best dialogue we've had in the last like 6 years.
I would have loved it if she'd have said that.
Okay, top three. The wedding speech from Demons of the Punjab. She officiates the wedding.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that bit.
I can't remember what she said. It was that defining.
In second place.
It's hardly a bloody Homo sapiens.
It's not.
You're
is
indomitable.
It? There isn't a moment like that.
She doesn't have a moment like that.
Actually, second place. It is, and judging by your logic, this is basically the top. Sometimes this team structure isn't flat from The Haunting of Villa Diodati.
It could be a quote from The Office.
It sounds
or the
like
thick of it.
It sounds like a kind of a management speak, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to buy this timeshare? You're like,
I just got to do a Doctor Who.
And in first place.
I mean, in the context, it works.
Yeah.
But when you hear it
out of context, yeah.
This has been fantastic.
In first place, message from the Doctor. Posted on official Doctor Who social media platforms during the COVID lockdown in March 2020 when she's locked in the cupboard.
That was her defining moment, a moment that didn't even hit the television screen.
That was the moment that people voted as Jodie Whittaker's best moment in Doctor Who.
That is like me saying Tom Baker's defining moment is him going, Mayday, Mayday, ruined dimensions in time.
Or my favourite Tom Baker bit is the postcards he did for Six Children, where he's writing people's ages You know, it's alternative media. It's like, it doesn't really...
It's Tom Baker saying, curry sauce all over your anus. That was his Doctor-defining moment.
$9.99
I'm totally... I'm going to regret that.
Right. Well, there we go. I mean...
I feel really bad because it feels like this whole episode has just been Billy gives me 13th Doctor stuff and I just shit on it.
What is that? Well, maybe that was a good primer for you to remember things that happened in Doctor episodes.
I'm glad because I honestly would have not remembered anything.
No. So at least now we can turn to this next bit.
It kind of makes me want to go back and watch it. Only to remember it and then go...
And then get really angry about it again.
This?
But one of the things that really interested me was when I started putting this tier list together, I was looking through screenshots of each episode.
Yeah.
And as I was scrolling through them, I was sort of remembering things because I thought, I'm not going to remember anything about Once Upon Time.
Yeah.
Like, I can't feed into where that comes on the list or tell you, because I knew I would be having to go, the one where this happens.
Yeah, yeah. Christ, thank God Johnny wasn't on it. He'd have just been like...
Incredulous.
Sorry, I've just stepped from the past. I've not seen any of the last.
Johnny
prizes.
Has just stepped from
he
the
has
past.
Just stepped from the past.
So let's have a look. If we go to the tier list.
Okay, here we go.
Right, okay.
Tier list time.
So now this comprises of all 31 episodes that Jodie Whittaker appeared in.
Power of the Doctor is on there.
Power of the Doctor is on this list. So every single Jodie Whittaker episode is on this list, not including her locked in a cupboard on Twitter.
Okay.
So. Can you hear, obviously S, A, B, C, D, typical tier list, everybody knows how they work.
Yeah.
So, can you hear me? I'm going to let you do this, and then I'm going to sort of put my two cents in and see if I can
you hear
sway
me?
Your decision.
I think Can You Hear Me is poo.
Okay.
I watched it, and I watched it again, and it didn't.
I think what's going to...
It didn't do anything.
No.
It did not titillate me.
Much of Doctor Who doesn't. What we're going to have to do here, I think, is we're going to have to give all these a placing, and then we'll have to see in context whether or not they stand up next to each other.
Yeah. So this S here, what if I don't think that anything is worthy of this?
Okay. You've got to think of this in the context of just Jodie's era.
Fine.
So forget the Genesis of the Daleks is a thing, which I know is really difficult.
Pyramids of Mars.
I know that's really difficult, but just try and sort of... Put yourself in that.
So this is just within this bubble.
Yeah, within Doctor Who 2018 to 2022.
Fine, okay, fair enough. Right.
Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Fugitive of S. the Jadoon. I mean, it's good. I did like it. Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, Fugitive of the Jadoon is an S tier. Kablam. Do you think morally it probably has to go lower because it does side with Amazon? And it's a kind of anti-workers' rights.
I mean, I just don't think it's all that, to be honest.
Well, and there's that as well.
I just don't think it's that great. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it's just... It just feels like we've done this sort of stuff before. I don't know.
I know what you mean.
It's a bit like...
Oh. And I think design-wise, the Kablam men look really cool.
They're great.
But... In the grand scheme of, we're just doing 2018 to 2022. I mean, it's so difficult as a Doctor Who fan to just sort of like just think about this in the context of when it came out.
Because you just sort of think, well, you know, we've done Killer Robots with Robots of Death. No one can do it better than that because that is so good.
Yeah.
Then you have them do it in Voyage of the Damned and you're like, okay, it's kind of like that story again, but Christmassy for the 21st century.
Yeah.
You can get away with it.
Yeah,
and then it's like, we're trying to do that again, but we're putting a different spin on it.
Sure, I see what
you're
saying. Yeah.
I don't know.
I know what you mean.
What was he doing, that kid? He was putting toxic gas in the bubble wrap or something?
Exploding bubble wrap. Because he fancied somebody and she said no, and he decided to become a terrorist.
As you do, apparently.
Doctor Who.
What is this about? And what were the robots doing?
They were just... I think some of them...
They needed a monster.
Their eyes went red and they killed people.
Why?
Because you need to scare children.
Okay.
You need to scare seven-year-olds.
I mean, it was not merchandised in any way other than an Eagle Moss figurine.
Which is nuts, because you think, like, the monsters are the things that are going to sell.
I just don't think Kiggs got into this era. Not
clearly
really,
not. Clearly
generally
not.
Speaking.
Okay, Legend of the Sea Devils.
Legend of the Sea Devils.
Now, you cannot put that next to Can You Hear Me. So Can You Hear Me has to go up.
Why can't I?
Because it's absolutely not on the same level.
I think they're both equally poo.
But you've got...
In fact, I'm almost tempted to put it up there just because it's got Sea Devils in it.
But it's...
But I will be kind.
As a piece of television, like technically... With all the stuff that got cut and the editing and the ADR. It's definitely not on the same level as Can You Hear Me. Can You Hear Me is a more competent piece of television than...
It is.
Legend of the Sea Devils.
It is a more competent piece of television, but it's a more competent piece of television in as much as someone has taken a menu from a local Chinese takeaway and decided to read it all out and show some pictures of the different food. And there we go. It's competent.
Okay.
It's not very good.
All right. Okay. We've got a very odd allegory there. Yeah, it was. We've got to have a fiddle with this.
Village of the Angels, right at the top.
Did you say Chinese takeaway because of when and where Legend of the Sea Devils is set?
No, I didn't. Okay.
Right. Okay, Village of the Angels, S tier. Yeah, I'd agree with that. War of the Sontarans.
Up there and all. Good.
Okay.
Love that story.
Halloween Apocalypse.
No. No, I'm not. I'm going to put it... Oh, what happened in that story?
This is the problem with Flux, is because obviously it's serialised.
Yeah.
And Halloween Apocalypse is all set up for what comes later.
Right.
So it's difficult to place it, but I mean, we have to put it somewhere.
My name's Dan, and my house is gone.
My house is gone, and I've got nothing, and I'm going to get involved in some space-time stuff now.
That was so weird that they had his house get tissue compression eliminated, and it was nothing to do with the master.
And the fact that when they got back there, it was like, well, my house is still gone.
He's homeless.
He's homeless. And he's in dire straits anyway. And if she's dropped him back in 2022, she's dropped him back homeless in the middle of a cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
Heartless.
She's really shit. At least the 10th doctor would be like, oh, you know what? Here's tomorrow's lottery numbers.
Yeah, no,
you know?
Definitely.
And he would.
Definitely. She doesn't really...
Give a fuck.
Well, I think she gives a fuck, but she doesn't really think.
She doesn't.
She's
a real superficial person.
Mm.
She's like one of those people that are like, oh, I'm all about my friends. But really, when it comes down to it, fuck them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like social media. Look at all my friends.
But I think it's the attachments that she forms with people. When she's just, like with the fam. And you think, well, you've not let any of them know about you. It's a very one-sided relationship.
We had a spider, right, living on the ceiling of our bedroom.
Yeah.
And I could have got rid of it and threw it out into the garden, into the cold, and we left it there the whole time. And it did die, sadly.
Yeah.
And it fell on the bed, and we were very sad. And I was like, oh, gosh. And thinking about it, I showed more kindness to that spider than the doctor did to any of her companions.
I know that the one thing that everybody brings up in that regard is her reaction to
Graham. I was going to say the cancer.
Telling her he has cancer. And I think that is a... It gets beaten over the head a lot. That scene is always brought up by detractors of the show. And I think really in context, it isn't great.
No.
Out of context, it's even worse.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're not even talking about that episode yet.
No.
But I can't remember what episode's been happening.
Speaking of cancer, prostate cancer wears moustache.
Everybody grow a moustache. Even if you can't grow one.
Grow one.
Grow one. Okay, right.
Shave your pubes into a moustache.
Where is Halloween Apocalypse coming? Quick, let's move on.
Right, Halloween Apocalypse. I don't know. We'll go...
We can move them.
We'll put it B for now.
For now.
That might move.
St. Anger Conundrum.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, oh God, actually, it might even go lower down.
I still can't believe Can You Hear Me is still there.
It's poo. I mean, I know you liked it.
Yeah.
But I just didn't get behind it.
And
I didn't buy any of the stuff with Ryan's depressed friend. I don't care if your friend's depressed. Yeah.
I can't. The one thing I don't like about that episode is when, for some reason, they go back to like Roman times or Greek times or some shit.
That is irrelevant.
Yeah, I don't.
And then the bandits are defeated by like their own trick. They share the food and they're defeated by their own trick.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I'll keep it there. Arachnids in the UK.
That's the cancer one, isn't it? That's the.
That is the cancer one.
Yeah.
Yeah. With what the episode that's all about mental health.
Yeah. And so I was just like, I couldn't give a shit.
I honestly couldn't care if he dropped dead in front of me, Graham. I have to say, I couldn't give a shit. And then she's so cut up about them going at the end. It is a bit of a kind of one-sided relationship, the whole
thing.
She's
a bit like the first Doctor with Dodo, you know. Mm. They could just walk off and not come back.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, oh yeah, fair enough. At least he had the benefit of he was a senile old git, you know.
Yeah. And it's annoying because they definitely try and paint her as somebody who's like...
Yeah.
Well, the fam.
Yeah.
Even just calling her the fam.
Oh, this series is all about hope. This Doctor's all about hope and
You're
joy.
Me hate this era the more we talk about it. Right. Arachnids in the UK.
Arachnids in the UK. It was fine.
Yeah.
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 Why is that in black and white? Or is that just a very dark
It's a very
picture?
Dark image. And I hated looking at it when I was making it. It was absolutely gutted. Right, Spyfall Part 2.
Right, Spyfall Part 2. So that is the big master story.
That's the main mastery part of the story. And it's a retread of like the whole going on the run thing from the Series 3 finale.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When they have to kind of go underground.
This whole era was just, can we recreate the Russell T Davies era?
But well,
it's a bit shitter.
I mean, kind of. I mean, Russell wouldn't have done the soft shoe shuffle bit from that story.
It was absolute shit.
Yeah.
But we'll put it here. He was good. I liked him.
I don't get your logic at all.
Wasn't Spyfall Part 2 quite good?
But we've. Well, okay. Well, let's keep going.
It's better than these two, wasn't it? It's better than that. Better than this one.
I wish I could see the chat at the moment. Right, let's keep going.
I can have a look.
The Witchfinders.
Oh, Witchfinders. That was yeah.
I don't know.
No, I'm going to put that there and
move that down.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I think that's better.
Resolution.
It was fine.
Okay. Eve of the Daleks.
There.
Haunting of Villa Diodati.
Oh, up here, good.
Revolution of the Daleks.
Oh, up here, good.
The Vanquishers.
A pearl of poo. What happened in this? Everything.
It's the ending. It's where they dangle the fob watch in front of her. They open it by Thanos snapping the old house into bits.
Yeah.
And then. I can't remember what else happens in that story. Oh, the Daleks turn up at the end.
And the Cybermen.
And the Cybermen. The universe, half the universe is totally wiped out and it's never mentioned ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In there.
Survivors of the Flux.
So this is the UNIT story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I think it's also got quite a bit of the... Maybe I'm thinking of the Vanquishers with Jericho and Dan and Yaz travelling around.
Yeah.
It might be the Vanquishers.
I mean... That stuff's fine. And that guy going, oh, you're teasing. I'm teasing
you. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That guy.
He's
cool.
He's good.
But it still goes in.
Spyfall Part 1. It's all set up for Part 2.
I can't really remember what happens in it.
No. Stephen Fry's in it at the start.
That's all I can remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lenny Henry. Yeah, Lenny Henry was in that.
The whole setup at the beginning, isn't it that there are people in like aeroplanes and they're getting sucked into the wall or something mad? Do you remember the first scene is somebody on a plane and they go to the toilet? Do you not remember that? They go to the loo on a plane and they look into the mirror and then like something comes out of the wall at them or something?
I have absolutely no recollection of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is like you are describing an entirely new thing to me.
Yeah, yeah, that happens. I think that happens in the first. Because the thing is that agents all over the world are dying. Just like how seismologists all over the way on the shitter. Just like seismologists all over the world are disappearing in Power of the Doctor. And we do all this bloody hopping from country to country and the whole thing just gets lost in oh God.
Dear.
I really liked Jodie Whittaker's era when I came into the room today.
this has just been Matt destroys Billy's
my life. Once upon
you never got out your little Jodie.
No, I never got my little Jodie out. Oh, it's in the bag over there. Don't worry about it. Oh, dear. Right, Once Upon Time.
Once Upon Time. That was the Not Joe Martin episode, wasn't it?
Yes, that is that one.
Yeah, it was.
It's the again. It's sort of in the middle of it all. It's sort of
it's the
set
it's,
up.
Yeah, you've
yeah.
had set up a good episode.
Yeah. Kind of coming down a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got you.
Because this was before the Angels, wasn't it?
Yes, it is.
And then you go, oh, Angels.
Well, yeah, Angels is good.
And then it goes,
Angels is chapter 4. Yeah.
Fine.
Demons of the Punjab.
Demons of the Punjab. I mean,
it is very highly rated by a lot of people. I think most people think it's one of her best.
Fuck. Well, not for Matthew Toffolo, it ain't.
Rosa.
Maybe I'm being mean. I've only watched Series 11 twice. Thrice.
On transmission, again for
us,
and then
again before Flux aired. I run through
it. Did you run through of all of Jodie's? I can't believe you put yourself through that.
Maybe I didn't. Mm. Or maybe I did all of Series 11 when Series 12 was about to air. That was it. I certainly didn't do Series 11 and 12.
No.
Because I can't really remember 12 at all.
Okay.
Which is a shame because it was the better series of the two.
I think it's the best series. Flux is all right.
Ever made.
I think Flux is all right, but it's short. And it's doing the serialised thing, so most of the episodes are just sort of set up for what's going to happen eventually and not get paid off.
Yeah.
Okay, Rosa. This was the tentpole for the series. Like, I think a lot of people who weren't watching Doctor Who heard that this was a thing and, you know, are we saying A?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's fine. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I prefer this. Mm. Not gonna lie, it's a better story.
Which is the better historical?
The Witchfinders.
Yeah.
Because I just think this would have been a pure historical would have been lovely.
Mm.
But as soon as you get leather coat space racist, and you're like, you've completely undermined this.
Yeah, for sure.
It would be like doing an episode about the Nazis. And
it turns out Hitler was a Silurian.
Exactly. Yeah.
I know you have to have an element of science fiction in there, you know.
He'd have a moustache, just like me. This is our planet.
Slightly smaller, though.
Yeah.
I know you have to have an element of sci-fi in there, and I know, but really, you're dealing with...
She's the element of sci-fi. Yeah.
The time travel element is enough, isn't it?
I still think my idea of the TARDIS materialises and the bus smashes into the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And that's what cocks it all up.
Yeah.
And they're like, we need to... Kind of like with Red Dwarf, when they have to kill JFK.
Yeah.
To get JFK to kill JFK.
Yeah.
You know, I think they have to... Because they do, don't they? They do the horrible thing of, oh no, we've sat down in all the seats.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to make a stand-up.
Which is the most powerful part of the entire episode.
But I think it should
And
been,
when Ryan gets smacked.
It should have been more of that.
Yeah. You're right. You know, and when they're hiding behind the motel as well.
Yeah.
Like... You do get a genuine sense of danger that you don't get from episodes where they're on the planet Kimberly Bombly and they're being chased. They're being chased by
sounds like a drag. Drag queen.
They're being chased by little green men. You know that is more threatening.
Yeah.
And the sci-fi element is the fact that an alien from the planet Gallifrey and the constellation the Castor Cerberus, who's thousands of years old, has got them there.
Yeah.
So you don't need somebody from, you know, the planet Swastika. You know, coming down and trying to eliminate Rosa Parks. Because he says very clearly in the story, you know, I don't want... It's something about you people, obviously meaning black people, getting ideas above your station. And he's come back to try and eliminate Rosa Parks from history.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like... It's a bit heavy-handed, Chris.
It is clunky as
Slash hell. Mallory, but mainly
I think it's
Chris.
That's more of a Chris thing.
Yeah.
I imagine it was more of a pure historical. And he was like, nah.
There needs to be some sci-fi elements in there. Oh, cool, blimey. We'll find out one day. But for now, we'll just
wait. That is going to be a really exciting thing. And especially to see, like, Series 13, what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, and you know. The specials and what
and
happened with them.
Yeah. You know, what was the original plan and how were they plotted?
For sure. Right, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror, which I think was universally liked.
Yes, it was great. I put that up here. It was really good fun.
Yeah. Ascension of the Cybermen.
I can't really remember what that was all about.
It's a weird one because it's obviously part one of a two-part finale, but it doesn't really set up the Timeless Children because it kind of totally changes direction, doesn't it? And it's interspersed with all the stuff of the guy in Ireland.
It does that, and all that. It does that very new serious thing of bringing the Cybermen in for a finale in part one, and then part two, they get completely shafted
because
the Master turns up and completely, and they're like, oh, forget about the Cybermen.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
It happens every time. Steve Moffat started that trend. Yeah. And now it still go. My poor cyber boys.
Yeah, poor cyber boys never get good representation.
They don't. No. Sorry, Jerry.
It is gutting. Yeah.
Poor Jerry.
Okay, so Ascension of the Cybermen.
I'm going to put that here.
Okay.
Because it may be lower down, but I can't really remember what happens in it.
Okay.
I remember it just was a bit Especially after Villa Diodati, so good. I remember watching it. I'm thinking, oh dear, this isn't as good as the last one, which is a shame. But I'll put it there because that's the sort of like, these are all right.
Okay, middling.
But maybe it should be C tier, but it will stay there for now.
Okay.
I can't say that I remember.
The Ghost Monument.
Ghost Monument in here.
Yeah. Okay. The Power of the Doctor, the most recent episode of Doctor Who and Jodie Whittaker's swan song. Now, you've got to think, you know, man, you've got the first 45 minutes with the seismologists and the volcanoes and all that shite. And then you've got the last half of it with the Guardians of the Edge, with them running around, Tegan and Ace.
Peter Davison.
Paul
McGann. Right,
yeah, put it down in D, Jesus.
Paul McGann. I know.
Okay.
I don't do robes. I'm going to put it in C.
Okay.
Purely because Paul McGann, Sylvester McCoy, Colin Baker. Oh, Peter Davison. mentioned him.
He's that beige and forgettable.
And I guess David Bradley. But
you can't really see it, but this next one is It Takes You Away.
Oh, God. I think this is... Shit.
The Battle of Ranskor at Kolos.
Not on the screen. Awful.
You can keep it down there if you want. The Timeless Children.
Maybe here.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe B. I don't know.
I don't rate it.
I wasn't as offended as it by the compared to some people.
Yeah.
But
I understand.
Praxeus, get in the bin.
Yeah.
Orphan 55. It's going to go up here.
I can't believe what I'm seeing. This is absolute bollocks, what I'm seeing in front of me. This is nuts.
I don't know. Maybe I'm... are you swaying my judgment?
I don't know. I'm not gonna say anything else.
What happens in that story? Benny, where's my Benny?
That's basically it.
She reminds me of Birdman from Red Dwarf. Looking for Pete.
It's exactly the
same. You want some seed?
It's basically exactly the same character.
I'm going to put it there, purely because I don't think it's as truly awful, and I've been able to sit through that more times than Praxeus.
Yeah.
And it doesn't annoy me as much as some of the other ones do.
Yeah.
It's shite,
but
I can kind of go with it. And the monsters look good. The dregs look great. The dregs look good.
And looking at those screenshots when I was going back through them, I thought, actually, they are a great design.
Yeah.
It's just a shame the story they're in.
It is a shame. And then, last but not least, the first story, boom, sorted.
So that is Matt's placement for every Jodie Whittaker episode of Doctor Who.
It's not very even, so we're going to put that one down there.
And is that... So that's it? So no tweaking, no... Is there anything there when you look at it in context that you think, right, if I actually come to my senses here and I realise...
So, let's think about this.
Okay,
so,
I tell you what, I will let you have all of those at the bottom. I don't know what it is about Praxeus that you're just not keen on, but it's like, it's not on the same level as Legend of the Sea Devils or Ranskor of Kolos.
I think it's complete not good.
Complete not good.
I was going to be very rude, but I don't like being rude because, you know, people have slaved over this.
And I know we've just spent the last half an hour
shitting on all of it.
You know, but...
I mean, that thumbnail looks great. You've got skeleton, bony, teeth face, man, or whatever's going on there. I can't really remember. Something to do with plastic. It was so bad.
And the crows.
They're off in China. They're off on the beach where the ravens have all got plastic at their bums or whatever it is.
That's exactly what happens.
Someone's got teeth coming out their face that isn't Tim Shaw.
Yeah.
And then there's a submarine under the water.
And it doesn't turn out to be the Sea Devils.
Doesn't turn out to be the Sea Devils, because don't worry, folks, we're going to save them for an equally shit story. It's not the Autons, because plastic, obviously, it would be the Autons.
That would be far too obvious, yeah.
It's just some weird human scientists that you just don't give a shit about.
Are they human?
Well, they look human.
Humanoid.
They're humanoid. They're human. And then on top of it all, you've got some bloody gay couple going on having a tiff.
What? Yeah, I don't get
that. What's that all about? I'm a secret agent and he's an astronaut. it sounds like a young boy has gone, I'm going to get my G.I. Joe and my Action Man and they're going to have it off.
But that's Doctor Who, isn't it? Like,
no.
No.
It just is mad. It's just pointless. It had no bearing on anything.
Okay.
And I remember watching it the second time. I was watching through it and I was like, oh, done with this. Mm. I didn't even get to the halfway mark.
Mm.
And then there were some people in like gas masks or something.
Oh, yeah. And they've got those cool guns.
Yeah.
They look great in the trailer.
Yeah.
And they pop up.
Do you know why I remembered
that?
Because there's a great outtake where the latex suits, because of what they're made out of, they rub against each other and it just makes fart noises and they're all in hysterics.
That.
Yeah, that's the only reason I remember that.
That's brilliant.
Is my takeaway from that story.
That one outtake.
With farts in it.
Beautiful. Well, okay, so...
So for anyone listening on audio, let's do S. So, at the bottom, D tier, can you hear me? Legend of the Sea Devils, It Takes You Away... Battle of Ranscourt, of Carlos, or whatever the feck it's called, Praxeus. C-list, which is basically most of the era. Demons of the Punjab, Once Upon Time, Spyfall Part 1, Kablam, Saranga Conundrum, Resolution, Survivors of the Flux, The Vanquishers, Ghost Monument, Power of the Doctor, Timeless Children, Orphan 55, The Woman Who Fell to Earth, and Ascension of the Cybermen. B-tier... Spyfall Part 2, Halloween Apocalypse, Arachnids in the UK, Eve of the Daleks. A tier, Revolution of the Daleks, The Witchfinders, Rosa, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror. Great name. And S tier, Fugitive of the Jardoon, Village of the Angels, War of the Sontarans, and The Haunting of Villa Diodati.
And I will
save you
all the displeasure of having to sit through me playing around with this tier list, but I'll post that on Twitter at some point and we'll work out what that was.
Oh, my god.
Well, there we go. That is that. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us for this live stream. It's been an awful lot of fun.
It's been great fun.
It's been cool to just
it's been really good fun to
do it in a different format.
Put the world of Doctor Who to rights.
To rights.
To me go mad.
Yeah.
Me speak English, good.
This link is going to be available on the Review of Death Twitter as well. So if you want to follow us at Review of Death on Twitter, and you can follow us on Instagram as well, you'll find links to the tier list so you can make your own, send it to us, let us know what your favourite episodes or least favourite episodes were. And I'll be popping my one up there as well. You can, of course, subscribe to us on YouTube as well.
Yeah, it's youtube.com/BatmanMarch.
Yep, and you can listen to us on Spotify, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts and all those fantastic places that you can usually listen to podcasts and enjoy. You can find it all there. We release an episode once every 2 weeks, and we have an episode coming up this Thursday, which I think
is really good.
Is probably one of our best episodes we've done in this whole podcast setup. It is a review of the Ninth Doctor Swan Song, the regeneration story that kicked it all off for the new series.
Yeah.
Bad Wolf Parting of the Ways, which saw Christopher Eccleston bow out and make way for David Tennant as the Doctor.
Yeah, so that is coming on Thursday.
Yeah.
And that's in the old setup, but...
Yeah, 7 a.m. on podcasts and 5 a.m. on YouTube.
Yeah.
5 p.m.
So,
on YouTube.
In that case, thank you all for joining us. And yeah, we'll see you on Thursday. Otherwise, we'll see you whenever we see you. Goodbye.